Well, I have a lot of slides. I'm going to try to move through them fast, though. I didn't make any handwritten notes. I'm wondering if sometimes those are hard to read, so I try to do them all through typing and text. But you've probably heard sermons on different numbers in the Bible. 3 is a recurring number. 7, which we're going to be talking about today, is a recurring number. 12 is a recurring number. As sanctified numbers, or like holy numbers. That can be tricky as Christians because obviously we're not like numerologists. We don't go around trying to divine what every single number means. We don't think, oh, in our 7th sip of coffee, that's the sanctified sip, or on our 6th, step out the door, that's, the unholy, the 666th step of the day or something. That's the worst, So we don't get that far into it. However, we can see through scripture that there is a recurring thread through the number 7, and this is just something that showed up again and again in my own study in the last few months. So I just wanted to take some time to share what the Lord has been showing me. Good thing. I'll share a screen. Just wanted to share what the Lord had been showing me through some of those studies as well. So let me share my screen real quick, as I am prone to forget to do. Think it's coming up, hopefully. Thinking. Not coming up. Let's say it's thinking or waiting. Not sure why that is. Let's try stopping it and restarting. Sorry about that. These are some of those technological challenges we were talking about. Might present themselves. So. Oh, okay. It's like, just went away now. Try one more time. That's an extension, so that's like the second screen. Yeah. There we go. Okay. Not sure. Did the same thing. Worked the second time. So it wasn't quite the 7th time, but it worked the second time. So not so subtle segue, right? Okay. So we'll just move through these, and I'm just going to highlight some of the big key 7s that recur, and even how those relate not only to us, in a general sense as believers, but today in our prayer time and how we can think about that. Of course, in creation, we see in Genesis 2, 1 and 2, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the 7th day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So from the very outset, the very beginning of scripture, 7 is shown in the number of days, which we, of course, still have in our week today. 7th day was also quite important because it was also a day of rest. The very next verses say in second half of verse 2 and verse 3, so on the 7th day he rested from all his work, then God blessed the 7th day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. We think about that in sense of we work 6 days and then we take off the 7th and we rest on the 7th and, Sabbath and how holy the Sabbath is. But there's actually a lot of times in scripture where rest goes along with the 7th. It's not strictly just in the week, which we'll actually see throughout this. Sabbath or Shabbat means rest. It has a shared origin with Shabbat, which means to swear an oath. It also shares an origin with Sheba, which means 7 or 7th day, the 7th day of rest. All of those come from the Hebrew word saba, which means fullness or satisfaction. So we can see that God wasn't just saying, take rest in that day. You can take fullness and satisfaction in that day. It's an oath with the Lord, an oath of rest, an oath of his fullness and satisfaction on the 7th day. So it goes so much deeper than just don't do a bunch of work. It's a lot more than that. We also see in Hebrews 4, 8 through 11, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God rests also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. So even in Hebrews, we see rest being connected with our walk as believers, as Christians, not an Old Testament principle strictly or just for Jews, but even a rest, a faithfulness, an oath, or excuse me, a fullness, a satisfaction, and an oath that we can take as believers all these years later. So I just wrote a summary. In other words, there is full satisfaction in God's rest and in his oath of the Sabbath. You might have heard in the rainbow, there's a quick little easy mnemonic to remember it, Roy G. Biv, which is basically there are seven colors in the rainbow. So there's an oath, even in the rainbow, from the Lord. Of course, that little acronym stands for red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Those are the colors of the rainbow, not to be taken over by the world, to be some silliness about same-sex marriage or gayness or whatever they want to call it or any of that. It's all a disgusting blight on the way that the Lord intended it, which is, it's an oath of his to us. His promise that he would never destroy the earth again through means of a bunch of water and rain and floods, flooding over all of the land. So that is yet again, just like the Sabbath, that's another oath, another promise that the Lord gave us. We can take refuge and rest, satisfaction in that. He also removed his enemies through the number seven. Now the gates of Jericho, this is from Joshua 6. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets." We know how that, "When the walls came tumbling down." You know the song. Being a Joshua, I heard that song a lot. People like to sing that to me. So, so we see the completeness in the Lord even removing his enemies. And notice something else here that's really cool too, which I've underlined here. See, "I have delivered." That's past tense. That's already done. Yet he's telling them, do this for the next several days. But the Lord's saying, "I'm not on your timetable. I mean, I know you're defined by time. I know that's what's going on with you, but I've already done this. Like, it's taken care of." Notice at the end, he also says, "On the seventh day, march around the city seven times." So remember, the day, that day is a day of rest. So this is not a day when they're supposed to be going into battle. This is a day when they're supposed to be resting. And why can they rest? Because if you look back in verse 2, again, it sees the Lord saying, "All you got to do is walk around the city several times. I've already done this. Like, it's done. Don't worry. Rest in that. Take refuge in that." We also see the completeness of seven in Christ many times over. This is some of the stuff that really just blows me away. You even see it in the Old Testament talking about who the Messiah would be. See that in Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." That's one. "Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." So we can see that there are seven times there where that's actually, you know, description of the Spirit as he would land and alight himself on the Messiah. Spirit is a Hebrew word for, it's ruach, which basically is also used a lot of times in the Old Testament, but it's used in back in Genesis 1, 2. So back where we kind of started this whole thing. "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So this isn't about like a spirit, as if you say, "Oh, he's got a spirit of fighting," or he's got a real spirit about him. No, this is the Holy Spirit of God. That is the same Spirit. That is who will make himself known and make himself evident in the Messiah. So these are the very attributes of the Spirit of God, and they rest on the Messiah. Just as a side note, as we continue going here, something I didn't realize until actually studying for this was, if you continue on in the rest of verse 3 and verse 4, it says, "He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath, which is ruach, of his lips he will slay the wicked. So in other words, with the very spirit of God, he will slay the wicked. So the spirit of God will rest on him. He will have all of these different attributes, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear. And by that very same spirit, he will slay his enemies. That's just the summary I just said. So, in his birth, this is one that is really interesting. I heard a sermon on this a long time ago. It was probably like, I don't know, 15 or something. So 80 years ago. But Matthew 1:17 says, so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. If you know Matthew 1:1-16, that tells of the 42 generations leading up to Christ from the time of Abraham. So covenant is given to Abraham. It is ultimately fulfilled in Christ 42 generations later. So it's like, okay, where are we at? Seven. Well, you know, if you're doing your math, you know that's six sets of seven generations. So we have Abraham plus seven to David. Here's just a timeline. 7+7 to the deportation, 7+7 to Christ. And then we have Christ. Christ completed the sixth set of seven generations, and he ushered in a seventh set of generations, which is really no set at all. It's a single generation. It's the new lineage. It's the new generation of the second man. It would usher in the Christian church, which we all benefit from today. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:47-49. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. So you have 42 generations laid out, 41 generations laid out that are, you know, Abraham all the way through, you know, Joseph and Mary. Those are all of the earth. Not to say that God did not use them strongly. They were not, you know, proud, you know, used. They're not declared in the hall of faith, ultimately in Hebrews. But the Christian faith, you know, this culmination in Christ started with the 42nd generation, where, you know, Jesus set this, that he was the heavenly man. He's the second Adam, the Bible calls him. It's a whole new, this is a whole game changer where all of us gather together as believers, we benefit from that. People of old benefit from that ultimately in the culmination of those oaths and of those pledges and promises from the Old Testament, also in Christ. So Christ also started a new generation and a new lineage as the second man. This new lineage and the seventh set of generations is really just one generation, and that is the church. Or to summarize it, Christ begat the generation of the church, and she finds her completeness in him. So we're not waiting for our next, you know, the next oath coming to the next generation, or have to think about generations past. We just see those fulfilled in Christ. What about in his prayer? The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:9-13. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Seven pleas with, you know, that we are supposed to call out to the Lord, right there in the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's words. In his description of himself, these are generally called the seven I Ams of the book of John. These are how Jesus talks about himself. John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 10:9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. John 10:11, just a few verses later, I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Fifth one, John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Jesus answered, and this is John 14:6. We often quote this one. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only means of access to the Lord, to God in eternity. In John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus obviously had seven statements about himself. True statements, statements about who we can take our faith in, take our belief in, the completeness of who he is. There they all are again. In his healing on the Sabbath, he does this seven times. Just in the interest of time, I'm going to kind of move through these pretty quickly. But there's a man with a shriveled hand who was there in Matthew 12. There's a man in the synagogue who's possessed by an impure spirit in Mark 1. And later in Mark 1, as soon as he left the synagogue and went with James, John, and Simon and to the home of Simon and Andrew, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. He went in and took her, helped her up. The fever left her. She began to wait on them so much. She not only felt that much better, she started waiting on them, which always blew me away, even as a kid. I'm like, wow, I've never had a cold or a sickness or a fever or whatever. I got over that quickly, and I was ready to just start serving everybody. You know? So that's amazing. It's complete. It's total healing. Luke 13. There was a woman there who was crippled by the spirit for 18 years. 18 years of being crippled. Jesus heals her. Luke 13. Luke 14. Jesus went to the house of a prominent Pharisee. And he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man who was suffering from an abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus heals him. John 5, there was an invalid for 38 years. As someone who's not much older than that, I'm like, wow, imagine my entire life. And then Jesus comes along and heals me. Something I mean, who knows if this guy even recollected not being sick or if that had been his entire life. And as he went along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. He's called a man and he's blind. So we know that this guy has never known the joy of sight. And Jesus heals him. Seventh healing on the Sabbath, no less, the day of rest. Again, if you remember back, though, we talked about when Joshua and the Israelites are marching around Jericho, he says, I have delivered. So Jesus already, you know, this healing is already in motion. This is already happening. The day of the week is like totally irrelevant. This is still in God's rest, and this is still in our rest that he's doing this. In his crucifixion, there's seven things he said from the cross to the people. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Done deal.
Done and done, for sure. Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? Again, all these things said while he is being crucified, hanging on the cross. I thirst. One that I probably could have left for the last, but it is finished. It is completed. That's the whole point of this, the seven things, but it is completed. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Still have control.
Control, power. While we're all dumb and foolish and mired in our sin, he's still granting salvation, taking care of his mother. How about in his call to forgiveness? We just looked at Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Again, uttered from the cross. But he also calls us to the same thing with each other. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Sounds like, oh, up to the number of completeness? Jesus is like, no. I'll tell you way beyond that. I'll tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. Or some say, some versions say 7 times 70. Either way, the point is, just like Ephesians says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. As disgusted as I am as I stand here before you today, probably since the last time we met, I've sinned that many times. God did not keep, you know, a tally of, well, oh, we're up to 490 or up to 7 times, you know, 70 or any of that. Sorry, you're out. You're out of strikes. In other words, this is a complete and total forgiveness, just as Mr. Mark talked about, what, 2 weeks ago, I believe?
Past, present, future.
Yeah. Done. It's done. The completeness.
Finished.
In other words, forgive completely and without fail, just as God forgives through Christ. There are lots of times where 7 appears. It's like hundreds of times in the Bible. So you can go through and you can find it. You could definitely go to Revelation and do an intense study about the 7 seals and 7 trumpets and the 7 angels, the 7 churches where the letters were written to. Here's the full list of all of them on one, just that I've like pulled out to do in a 15-minute devotion. So really, a lot of times, you know, it's like, I don't know, Mr. Todd or, you know, John are kind of thinking through this, but sometimes I get to this point, I'm like, okay, how does this tie into prayer? I have to make some clever segue or something like that. It's like, no, I don't have to do all that. It's like, this all ties in beautifully. It's tied in a partial, I mean, one place you can find it is Philippians 3 through 6. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. That's the theme today, completion. Completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to be, I don't have to be clever. I don't have to try to find some way that all this ties into our prayer because, you know, the Spirit is taking our prayers and presenting those before God. These are eternal messages. The way it's described, I believe, in Revelation is they're precious gold that is put into a bowl. You know, these are eternal, important things that we're doing when we pray. We don't have to worry about, can God do it? We don't even have to think, oh, God can do it. It's like we see it time and time and time again that any kind of challenge for his glory, he will meet. And all of this is completed in him. All these prayer requests are already known by him. All of these prayer requests are already answered in him. We can take rest in that. We can take fullness of the Sabbath, of satisfaction in that. So on that note, go ahead and talk about prayer requests. Try to keep a list here as well. I just wanted to say as a praise, so I moved here 2.5-ish years ago. Lauren and I will be married 2 years in just a few weeks, which is simultaneously hard to believe, and it's like, it's only been that long, so kind of weird, but I'm just so truly thankful for this church, for each of you. So many of you are very much encouragements to me, whether you even realize it or not, or whether I tell you or not, and so anyway, that's just very much a praise. I mean, that is, it's not lost on me. I lived in a very spiritually dark place for a very long time, and felt like a lonely missionary sometimes, but it's truly encouraging to have brothers and sisters in Christ and get to meet with all of you every week. So I'm really thankful for this church and thankful for each of you, for your testimonies and your prayers, not just for me, but even when we share prayer requests. You know, I was so encouraged last week by Mr. Tom sharing about his family. So God's doing a great work in each of you and in our church as well. So I'm really thankful for that and thankful for each of you. So anyway, so what prayer requests do we have this week?
I have another praise report.
Yeah.
Rachel had her baby Saturday morning.
Spell that right.
Breathe with her. And so she's breaking our records, but in opposite directions. Sharon's records, not mine. She, you know, was a little early. And then the baby was only 7 pounds, 1 ounce. So.
That's great.
7 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Our smallest one.
It's a preemie.
Our smallest one. But it's
I'd like to ask a prayer for my mom.
Okay.
If y'all remember when I first started going to church here, her best friend killed herself. Y'all remember that? Her sister died this week, and that was her other, like, she could talk to. She doesn't have a church. So I would just like to ask a prayer for her. She's upset.
Okay. This was her, your mom's best friend's sister?
No.
Or your mom's
sister? This was my mom's sister.
Oh, okay.
Sister. Actually, she introduced my parents in Alaska, so they lived together. Very old.
Okay.
Just ask the Lord not to ever let us quit being awed. You know, or amazed by his word, you know, how things just connect and explode, and, you know, just like what you talked about today. And you're listing these things, and that we never lose that wow, you know, about God as his children.
Mm. Amen. Great. Sadly, easy to take for granted somehow. I don't even know how that's possible, but it happens almost daily to me, it seems like.
Aren't you the one that says he's always showing off or these just astonishing things about himself? Going through his attributes just totally blew my mind. And we're not even scratching the surface on this earth.
You ever lose that? Or just I'm telling you,
you should, because we've been on a quest here of just amazing things. But haven't heard it in our watered down Christianity and stuff. This guy and others that we you ask Claudia, I pray all that I am so pleased with him introducing me to some of the best salt in this earth. And these, to get to know these real men away from church and stuff, it's like, just amazing.
That's awesome.
Just giants. Absolute giants.
That's awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
And so undeserving.
Mm-hmm.
So uncertain.
Kind of goes with Miss Claire's word, awed, awesome. Heard sermons where it's like, kind of, what term do you use to describe the Lord? But we use like terms like awesome, you know, to describe things that really aren't awesome, but relative to the Lord. But yeah, I think Dustin, did you have?
Yeah. Continue prayer from all Uncle Don, some of that, Andrew Jacks, Don, on Wednesday night, he was able to share the gospel. But, you know, they gave him like a 20% chance of sharing the gospel with back in the thousands still pretty angry at God. His son died of the cycle. It's like 22 years old. So it's really never kind of got over. His parents died. So very bad, very bitter person. Really in the church. But, yeah, I think the time has, since the stroke, can't but it's all it's a diamond. So it's stuck. Nothing to stop. So it's just been gospel. Probably one also that cares about just pray for his soul. His health is pretty much out. Probably do any day. I wanted to go to this one, but they moved back to Alabama. So I'm scared.
Yeah.
Just pray for his soul.
Okay. We can also continue to pray for GBF and just decisions and direction and, you know, everything.
Closure, foster rhythm, that's what I was, all right, just kind of some closure.
Yeah.
Become a bird, separation, because we try and find some sort of answer. It's
All right. Is anyone else? So, sorry. Got one on each side. How about Miss Body?
It's like more time and God's work.
That's a great prayer.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Todd, I think you would also raise your hand. A
couple of them. One, or prayer request, unspoken prayer request, just things they're going through. And continue to have the heart of prayer for the country, our election, God is merciful to us, and push back the tide of the land. Creator, cause revival, however you want to word it, they want to talk about the acts of all the killed mercy to the country during this election.
Any word from
Dr.? Oh, I forgot to check with Ben since then. He, I can't remember if I mentioned that a partner, did I say that? That the partner of the other cardiologist said that he could do the, and that he had done it. And so, hasn't been 6 days yet. I guess an ICU, so it's probably be about 6 days today. And I guess be able to give a definite, haven't gotten back to Ben yet. That's only been about, what, 3 days?
Yeah. He didn't bypass, but he just wanted
to. He didn't want to bypass. And so the other cardiologist mentioned that he's done it on people older than 90 and successfully. And so went ahead to.
Yes, ma'am.
Zones preaching.
Oh, yeah. Safe travels and preaching and fundraising and all that. It's in Oregon, right?
Warren Missions. He's in Oregon.
Yeah.
Warren Missions, that's for sure. International. So he's up there right now.
He is. I think he was also going out preaching with some of the groups up there, too, right?
Yeah.
While he's up there. All right. Mr. Todd, would you go ahead and pray for us today? Appreciate that.
Blessed Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering this morning in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we have much to rejoice in today as we reflected on the mysteries of your word, how, Father, that before the foundation of the world, you set things in motion that man cannot stop or cause change of, that, Lord, your sovereignty is over all. And we thank you for
district for the rock, which we can end unfailing, unchangeable rock, our hope, Lord. Thank you for these precious words, these promises in your Holy Scripture that we count on. And again, we come to rejoice in that, praise you for that. Thank you for your unfailing word, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you promised to hear your children when they cry out to you in prayer. This morning, rejoice in so many things, Father. The state of mind to contemplate these wonderful mysteries of how you save us, Lord. Our way to hell, to change our courses, Lord. That you are pleased to take us from the domain of darkness and deliver us into the dominion of light, setting us free from bondage of our sin, calling us redeemed, acceptable in your sight, blood of your Son Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the things that you bless us with you're not worthy of. The simple graces, Father, take for granted. Our families, Father, the birth of a new one in our family. Lord, who are we that we would deserving of such common graces, Lord, to see your glory, to stand in awe, share the glory of God. May we not lose that, Father. May you continue all the days of our life, cause us to stand amazed at your mercy, your grace, your glory. In spite of our failures, Lord, let us look to you, 1,000 looks to you. Oh, Father, and we're confident that you will continue to hear our prayers for the things that burden our hearts today, the things that we lift up to you today. We know that you are already fully aware of these things, yet it pleases you to hear our voice speak and argue in your presence that you would hear us concerning these things, Lord. As we pray for loved ones who have had family members who have died, or loved ones who are struggling, pain and in the throes of death, Lord. Confidence that you can cause a great work to be done during this time, Lord. Pray that it would be so for the sake of your people praying on their behalf, that you would do a work in their heart and in their life. Pray for in my own family, Tori and Matt, I pray that you would hear the things that they're crying out to do with relationship with you. That all of our families, Lord, that you would be pleased to draw them into your kingdom. That you would use us in whatever way that you necessary, us and others around them, Father. The gospel would be proclaimed to them and that you would draw them into your fold. We pray for our brother Zoe that you would continue to work him, work in his business, Father, work through his ministry to share the gospel. Grant him words as he speaks the word. Continue to grant him boldness and protection, him and his family. Wisdom for him. Pray for wisdom for this church. Direction, Lord. Simply cry out, what would you have me do, Lord? Be open to that direction. Father, have mercy, Father, we pray. Have mercy once more. Have mercy upon this country, Father, during this time of election. Would you be pleased to protect our leader, protect his family? Would you hold back the tide of the evil which wages war? For our children's children's sake, Father, would it please you on their behalf to hold it back, Father. It was spoken this morning, Father, without an arrow being flung, without a sword being swung, Lord, you cause walls of a mighty nation, a mighty fortress to fall down, Lord. Surely you can do the same you be pleased to do that, Father. The spoken word that you caused walls of this darkness to fall down. Undeserving people. But you're glorious. You deserve the glory of your people. You get glory from us doing a great work in this land, this country, in our families. And even this morning, Father, speak forth your word. Give us hearts to receive. Ears to hear, ability to comprehend, quiet in our lives. Father, we give you glory today. Praise the name of Jesus this day. For it's in his name we pray these things.
Amen.